The following is a broadcast of 1-800-LAW-CALL, the legal call-in service that provides free answers on air or in private to your questions about medical malpractice, wrongful death and injuries, or damages resulting from medical malpractice or medical mistakes. The attorneys for today's program are provided by the participating sponsor firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten, which is solely responsible for its content. The views and opinions expressed on WCBM by the host, guest, and panelists do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or advertisers of the station. Proper legal advice depends on a complete analysis of all facts and circumstances. The legal advice given during this program is intended as general information only, and no attorney-client relationship is created with callers or listeners to this program. Hello, I'm Frank Luber, and welcome again to 1-800-LAW-CALL. In a moment, we're going to tell you about a man who was prescribed so much blood thinner that he started bleeding from every opening in his body. We'll also tell you about the 43-year-old man who went to his doctor twice with signs of a heart blockage until he had to return in an ambulance. And later in the program, even with improved safety measures, wrong-site surgeries continue to occur all too frequently. Sometimes there is a bad outcome even when a good doctor does everything right. On the other hand, even a good doctor can sometimes make a terrible mistake that could have been avoided. The problem is that most people cannot tell the difference between a bad outcome and an avoidable mistake. That's why we give our listeners a free and easy way to get your questions answered if you think something happened to you or a loved one that didn't seem right. The lines are now open and the advice is free, so give us a call at 1-800-529-2255, and you can find out more information about tonight's participating law firm by going to their website at 1-800-LAW-CALL.com. And joining me in the studio today is attorney Kerry Staten for the medical malpractice Baltimore law firm of Shakur, Federico, and Staten, which has been involved in over 1,000 medical malpractice cases. We have a very interesting program today and welcome all our listeners to 1-800-LAW-CALL. And again, it's my pleasure to welcome aboard attorney Kerry Staten. Good evening, Kerry.
Good evening, Frank. How are you?
I'm fine, and we have a terrific program all lined up for our listeners here this evening. So let's begin by hearing about a man who was prescribed so much blood thinner that he started bleeding from every orifice, every opening in his body.
Well, that's correct. That's the tragic end of the story, but it didn't have to turn out that way, Frank, as most of these stories don't have to turn out that way. This is a gentleman who, prior to November 2nd, was managed on Coumadin, a blood-thinning agent, due to his history of DVT, or deep vein thrombosis. It's a measure given to patients with a history of DVT to prevent the clot from forming in the leg, propagating, breaking off, and traveling to the lung to kill you as a pulmonary embolus. Well, this gentleman was managed, again, as I said, successfully with a regimen of 10 milligrams of the drug on every even day and 7.5 milligrams of the drug on every odd day. The challenge for doctors prescribing Coumadin and managing their patients is that the drug has to have a therapeutic level and be maintained within therapeutic range according to the INR. That's the measurement of the blood thinning capacity of the drug. And a normal INR is between 2 and 3. People react differently to the same dosages of Coumadin, and so this gentleman was given a dosage which alternated every other day to maintain his proper INR level and values so his blood wouldn't get overly thinned or not thinned enough. Coumadin will also, the effect of Coumadin will also change when it's combined with other medications. And so on November 2nd, this gentleman's physician had to prescribe Cipro, an antibiotic, to cure an infection. Well, Cipro potentiates the effect of Coumadin. It makes it act stronger in the human body. And so, of course, the standards of care would be to monitor the patient closely, to check the INR, and to also give proper instructions on how the prescription is going to change. The physician told the patient verbally that his prescription from Coumadin was going to change while he's taking Cipro and then change back while when he's finished with it, did not give a new prescription, didn't give written instructions. And so this gentleman, who was somewhat elderly, got the medication dosages confused. Mm. He ended up taking too much Coumadin, particularly when it was combined with the Cipro.
This is obviously when he got home, I guess.
It's an outpatient medication. Mm-hmm. You take it orally.
Yeah, right.
And so the physician, contrary to the standards of care, did not write a new prescription for him to follow. You know, he'd have a pill bottle with a new prescription that says, take one of these pills, whatever the frequency is, at the particular dosage. He didn't have anything in writing from the doctor. The doctor left it up to this gentleman's recall, which is not the best idea when you're a healthcare provider treating a member of the lay public.
Yeah.
Worse than that, the physician didn't check his INR and never confirmed the actual Coumadin level or coagulation level in his blood. To add insult to injury, Frank, on November 15th, this patient went to the emergency department complaining of groin pain and a change in his urine color. In fact, urinalysis revealed red blood cells in his urine, too numerous to count. Mm. That was the beginning of his anticoagulation bleeding problem. It began in his bladder. The emergency personnel thought that he merely had a urinary tract infection. And despite the fact that this patient told them that he was on Coumadin, they didn't check his INR. They merely discharged him with a diagnosis of urinary tract infection. He returned 3 days later to the emergency room, now with frank blood in his urine. You know, not just microscopic, looking at the cells under the microscope, but blood that you could see. It's blood-tinged urine.
Yeah.
Same emergency room, same history. I've been taking Coumadin. This is what I've been taking. They, again, failed to check his INR. They failed to determine what the standards of care required them to do, what his coagulation level was, whether he was over-anticoagulated and his blood was too thin, whether he was just where he needed to be, or whether he was under-anticoagulated and at risk for clotting. Well, obviously, since he was bleeding into his bladder and had bloody urine, he was over-anticoagulated. They never checked. Instead, they simply switched his antibiotics. And so, of course, 2 days after that, he's rushed to a different emergency room where they finally check his INR levels. They checked his INR levels because, as you told us at the outset of this story, he was bleeding from every orifice. That's what happens when your platelets are too thin and when your blood is over-anticoagulated. His INR level, when they finally checked it, and remember I told you that normal was between 2 and 3, his INR level was 75.
Oh, my goodness.
This gentleman is lucky to have survived the incident, but survival is, you know, at the bare minimum. He was confined to the hospital for about a month, the majority of the time of which was spent in the ICU. When he was finally discharged in late December, he was discharged to a rehabilitation facility for another 3 months because he was so debilitated. And when he was finally discharged to his home, he was discharged to a home hospital bed. This gentleman never regained his former state of well-being and remained debilitated because no one checked his INR level repeatedly, and his primary care physician never gave him clear instructions on how to take Coumadin when he was mixing it with Cipro.
This was a house of horrors for him. I mean, everywhere he went, there was a mistake made or lack of communication. And I think you indicated this was an older person, right?
Yeah.
And you would think that the doctor, realizing that, would specifically write down the new instructions.
Exactly. Exactly. And it, you know, I'm not here to comment on our older Americans and their capacity to understand. I'm talking about good patient care. When physicians are handling patients, physicians should not leave it up to the recall of any patient, whether
no matter what the
15,
age.
30,
really,
40, 50,
it, yeah.
60. It doesn't matter. When you're changing a regimen of medication administration, for instance, in this gentleman's case where he was used to taking one dose on one day, a different dose on another day, and you switch that up for a temporary period of time because you're introducing a new medication, put it in writing. Give the patient something to refer to, something that the patient can put on the refrigerator door, the bulletin board, or on a pill bottle if you write a new prescription.
To be honest with you, all the doctor would have had to say is, look, anything I told you before, scrap. Don't even worry about it.
We're going to start over.
If we're starting over, here's the new set of instructions.
That's exactly right. And The fail-safe, which is the absolute standard of care in this country, is to do a blood test.
Sure.
Run it through the INR and figure out what the number is. If it's lower than 2, the blood's too thick. If it's higher than 3, the blood's too thin. And you begin to adjust the medication. In fact, the physician knew that when he set up the patient for alternating dosages on alternating days. He knew he had to adjust the Coumadin levels so that the INR would remain within therapeutic range.
Can you just imagine what that man that was going through when he started bleeding from the eyes, the mouth, the ears?
The nose, everything.
Oh, my God.
It's unspeakable. It is unspeakable. It is a horror film, only it's real life.
Mm-hmm. It can be financially tragic when a family member is seriously injured or dies from a medical mistake, yet most families are never compensated for their medical bills, lost wages, or pain and suffering, for that matter, because they never realize that what happened was not from a bad outcome to quality care, but the result of an avoidable mistake like the one we talked about here. That's why we do this program, so you can get some free and easy answers just by calling us at 1-800-LAW-CALL. That's 1-800-529-2255. So give us a call right now and share your story with our other listeners out there. And if it's a sensitive subject, you don't have to use your own name. The call is free, but the answers you hear may change your life. Call us now while we have some open lines at 1-800-529-2255. And you can find out more information about tonight's participating law firm by going to their website at 1-800-LAW-CALL.com. When we continue, we'll tell you about a 43-year-old man who went to his doctor twice with signs of a heart blockage until he had to return in an ambulance. And later in the program, is it too difficult for surgeons to take a time out before surgery to help prevent wrong site surgeries? All that and a whole lot more here on 1-800-LAW-CALL when we return.